Let's back up here a little bit in the fifth chapter if y'all want to. Let's go up about 43. All this is, I got an old Schofield. It's not even red writing, but all this is Jesus speaking. The 43rd verse of the fifth chapter of St. Matthew, very familiar scripture. We can look back in the fifth chapter there, and we can see what we call the Beatitudes, and we see how the Lord is blessed. And in the fifth chapter, and He said, "Blessed is the poor in spirit. Blessed are they that mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemaker. Blessed are they which persecuted for righteous sake. Blessed are they when men shall revile you." Said, rejoice and be exceedingly glad. And today we're not rejoicing. We're not rejoicing like we need to be. And let's jump down to the 43rd verse now, the fifth chapter. And He said, "Ye have heard that it hath been said that thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." And I've told Janet for a few years now, I first said 70, and I know that's a joke, but I said, when I get 80, Mama, I said, I'm going to step down. I'm going to get out of the way and stay home with you. But here we are, 80, and I guess I've lied again. God forgive me. But I can't get no peace in stepping down. So I've got to go on. And I thought about, I come down the road this morning, and I said to Janet, some things come up, and I won't even go into that. But I said, I can't do that and still preach the gospel. I can't have hard feelings at Andy and still preach the gospel. And I don't understand why these that have quit us and backed off and run away somewhere else or whatever they've done. And I got some on my mind that they were even asked this week if they still come to church here, if I'd seen them. You know, I don't understand how they think they're right with God and they're sitting in bitterness, they're sitting in self-pity where they've had their feelings hurt. God knows my heart. I'm standing in the pulpit. I wouldn't hurt your feelings intentionally under no circumstances. And if the Word of God cut you, I wouldn't back up under no circumstances. It's a time that we bring the Word of God and stand where God wants us to stand. And He said, that ye may be the children of your Father. This is my heart's desire, that I might be the children of your Father which is heaven. For He maketh the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. So it looks like that these are getting by, honey, and it breaks my heart. I have a insight from God, from the Holy Spirit of God, of people that think they've been saved when they're 4 years old and 8 years old, amen, and they still drink, they still hoe around, they still do the things of the world, but they'll tell you they're right with God. And I even talked to one Saturday there at Galax, and I invited her to church, and I didn't know her name, still don't know her name, and she said, "I can't come to your church, I go to mine." But I'd seen her a long time ago, and then this week, and she was talking about she had lived with a man for about, I don't know, two and a half years. She'd lived with a man, amen, and sat in church, and we think this is all right, it ain't all right. And she wanted to show us, wanted us to pray for a dog, and I'm not bad to pray for dogs if y'all want to know, but I thought about, you know, and I'm sorry if a dog's sick, but I just don't pray for dogs. Amen. That ain't my calling. Amen. The Bible said that the soul of man goes up, and it says the beast goes down. That's what the Bible said. That's all I know. So anyway, I said, "Well, I'll bet you traded that boyfriend for this black lab." And she said, "Yeah, how did you know? That's probably a good trade. I can't see where it's sin to live with a black lab. But I can if you live with a man." Amen. So that's where we're at. But we sit in church and everything's all right. And then the sinner is looking at us and they say, "Well, I'm as good as they are." Amen. It's time that we preach the Word of God. We think that God is blind. We think that God can't hear. We think He's afar off. Amen. And He's all right if we go ahead and do what we want to. But God, we want You to come on the scene when we need You. When we're sick, when we're in trouble. I can miss church as long as I'm well, but when I'm sick, I need You. Amen. Ain't that the God we're talking about? Amen. He is a good God, and He's long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. But I'm going to tell you, there's a payday coming to America, and it's already begun to happen. I can see it through the eyes of faith that America will never pull back to what we have been. The churches will never pull back to what we have been. And I hear all over the land that we're going to break out in revival, and I hope I'm wrong. I see revival in Jerusalem. When the Spirit of God is withdrawn from the Gentiles and goes back to Jerusalem, I see revival breaking out. I hope I'm wrong on this. But I don't see. America has had everything. We've been blessed with the church doors open. We could come in and sing praises and shout the victory, glory to God, any way we wanted to. We could run from church to church to place and worship the way we wanted to. There was no restrictions on us, but it's coming. It's done been in foreign countries, and it's coming here. And the Bible said that it rains on the just and the unjust. And sometimes we look at the millionaire sitting over there that's got fine cars and all the land and all the horses and everything that he needs. The Bible said it rains on the just and the unjust. Just, honey. But there's a payday coming. Sometimes it looks like us as Christians are beat down. We have more problems. Sometimes it looks like we are more sickly. We got more problems going on. But I'm going to tell you, we as the children of God are winners. I want us to know that today. We're winners if we are the children of God. The 46th verse said, "For if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same?" I'm telling you, I've been in a place the last week or two, a time or two, that I've been in a place that I'm rejected. I've been into a place a time or two trying to see some certain people that I knew, and they would dodge you and they'd run away from you and they'd try to turn you down. They'd try to back up on you. They wouldn't speak unless you just went ahead and spoke. But I'm going to tell you something. When I was a sinner, I walked into places where they didn't want me. I walked back into places where I'd been run out of. Amen. I didn't stop just because I wasn't welcome. Amen. So why should I stop now? I'm going to tell you, we that call ourselves Christians have backed up. We got a yellow streak down our back. We protect our life. We don't care about another man's soul. We're afraid to go tell a man about Jesus. We're afraid that we'll make family members mad. Amen. Glory to God. He preached on a peculiar person. Glory to God. If you're a child of God, you're peculiar in this walk of life. But today you can't tell the church. Amen. You can't tell the church from the world. The church sings the same songs that the world sings. They even take the word of God, the songs that the old saints of God have wrote, amen, and they've tried to change them over and make rock and roll songs out of a gospel song. They've made mockery of Almighty God. I'm going somewhere with this. Just hang on to my muttering for just a little while. I'm going to get back in the Word of God. But think how today where our churches have gone to. The churches where I seen the grandma shouting, they had on long dresses, they had on boots, and some of them had bonnets, their hair done up, amen, and they wasn't all fixed up. Glory to God. And fix up, ladies. I want you to look good. But think about the shout, glory to God, has gone because we've took too much time to take care of the flesh. Amen. And let the Spirit of God leave us. Let the Spirit of God go away from us. And we need to look good. We need to dress right. But since we've let the Spirit of God walk away from us because we cared more about the flesh, a man that's dying and going to hell, honey, I'm going to tell you something. He can go and bib old rolls and patches to heaven, glory to God, if you'll only get right with God. But we look on the outward appearance. If we ain't careful, honey, we want our friends to be in high places, people that we can help, glory to God. Even the sinner, and I'll read it in the Word of God, even the sinner, amen, goes to the places that people that love them. But how about us as Christians? Are we going into some places where we know we're rejected, where we're not loved? I go into some churches, used to, I ain't been much lately, where I was not welcome. Amen. Where I was, where my seat was filled, and where they asked for somebody else to come and take my seat. Amen. And I needed to go somewhere else, but that don't bother me no more. For you love them which love you. What reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? The sinners love them that love them, but them that come against you, why can't we love them? I'm going to tell you, there's envy and strife in our congregation today. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, it's not just here. It's wherever this radio broadcast is going to today. And we had a preacher, and as far as I know, I'd never seen him before. And up in Virginia, and me and Janet, and he just walked up to me, and he said, "Are you a preacher?" And I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Are you Bill Spurgeon?" I said, "Yes, sir." He's about that tall. Had on a shirt just about like Larry Johnson. Amen. So you couldn't miss him. He said, "I listen to you every Saturday." I said, "Praise the Lord, keep on praying." I still don't know who he is, but I praise God for it. Don't know how he knew me, but I praise God for it. And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more? Us little church people, if we ain't careful, come on, church. We go shake hands and we hug and we love on them. That's our little members. But how about them that are outside? For if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans or the sinners the same? And if you salute your brother only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans also? I'm going to tell you, there's some Mount Vernon people sitting here today that need their neck hugged. Amen. It ain't just the visitor that comes in or the person that's been here a month or two and needs to recognize it. There's some old folks at Mount Vernon, glory to God, that need their neck hugged. They need to be saluted. They need to be recognized. I told Janet when Emma come in, I seen her coming up the steps there as we're sitting there in the parking lot, and I said, "She's been faithful. She's old. She's been faithful. She stayed in the house of the Lord. I know she got out a while, but she come back and she's been in the house of the Lord for several years. She comes if it's raining, if it's sunshine, if it's cloudy, or they calling for a storm." Amen. We need to recognize the faithful people of God. They're the one that's an example. Those that hit and miss, amen. I thought about one of them old hit and miss John Deere tractors. You go poof. Boom. That's the way Baptists are. Awfulest sounding thing ever been. Anyone will jump up and testify when they're hitting and boom when it ain't. Ain't that how we are? When it's going good at our house. I praise the Lord today. I feel better at 80 than I did Wednesday night at 79. Amen. I didn't feel good Wednesday night. I praise the Lord for it. Praise His holy name. We're going to read. Amen. We're going to keep reading. "But ye therefore, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." And this perfect just means fully developed. Amen. To be a full-blooded Christian. Being perfect ain't that you don't make a mistake. And, you know, we'll jump up and we'll say us Baptists are the worst in the world. And we're not perfect. We make mistakes. And if you find me on a bad day, I may cuss you out. I heard a preacher preach that right out of our pulpit. I'm going to tell you what he needs. He needs to come back to God. He needs to read the Word of God instead of taking little passages that tells him, amen, and let the flesh override it. If the Spirit of God is within you, your mouth will talk right. If the Spirit of God ain't in you, honey, you are bound for a devil's hell. You can take, mark that down. You can take it any way that you want to take it. Let's go on with the Word of God in the 6th chapter of Matthew. I've not told you what we're preaching on, but I'm preaching on the Lord's Prayer. And I know everybody don't do this, but there's probably thousands of rocks, I've not counted them and don't intend to, at our altar in the woods. So I've got some eyeball proof that I've been to the altar and carried a rock and bowed down and made pretense of prayer. But I wonder how many of those rocks did I carry down there and really pray to God? Really got through to God? I did yesterday. But did I the rest of the week? Think about when we come to the altar. I'm going to read it to us in the Scripture. And our heart ain't right with God, and we know our heart ain't right with God, and we're still trying to reach out and pray.
Bless you, Lord.
Amen. Sixth chapter, first verse. Take heed that you do not your alms or your good works before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. And I thought, Larry asked Todd this morning, said to come and lead us in prayer. What if there's sin in Todd's life? Todd knowed there's sin in his life. What if we'd have really been honest and Todd had stood up and said, I can't pray, there's sin in my life. There's sin in my life. He's a deacon, he's a Christian. We're just using this for an example. Well, how many times are we asked to pray? Meet somebody in Walmart, pray. Meet somebody at Food Lines, want you to pray for me. How many times do we forget it? How many times on Facebook they say, pray for me. We right now and I'm praying. That's the last we ever think of it. Think about where we're at today. Did everybody come praying? Did everybody come praying this morning? Till the Spirit of God, amen, that's good, buddy. Till the Spirit of God can move up on us and we can help somebody else. I know this morning I had to preach, so I come in a little special way. And I know this morning that I come in just a little special way because my heart's breaking for my sister Krista. That's going to have another operation and how serious it is. So that puts me in a place till I'll pull back in and grow nigh to God. I'll get a little closer to God. But maybe when we don't have no sickness and we don't have nobody that's on our heart, everything's going good at our house, you know what we got on our mind?
Believe.
Vacation. Where am I going to eat?
Come on, Chris.
I need to get the oil changed in my car next week so I can take off. I need to go ride and look at the leaves. There ain't nothing wrong with that. Don't get me wrong. But I'm telling you, we are a type of people that have to stay in need to keep flesh under subjection to God. So that's why God has taken His hand off of America and we're in trouble. Because we didn't give Him praise and honor when we knew Him. We didn't give Him praise and honor when everything was going good. Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogue and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have no reward. And I thought on this scripture all of my life, and I thought, you need to tell the people what you've done. But to stand up and brag, honey, we're so illiterate today in the gospel and the Spirit and the power of God to know that we wouldn't have done that if it hadn't have been for God. And I've kept back people that I talk to, and I know Butch has kept back souls that get saved, and we keep back some stuff because people think we're bragging on ourselves. But honey, let's go through self, amen, and look down at the bottom line. We wasn't nothing but drunks. I heard a preacher this week preached, ain't nothing but a sinner saved by the grace of God. You can't be a sinner and saved by the grace of God. That's two different people. A sinner and that is saved by the grace of God. So think where we're at today. Honey, we won't testify the goodness of God because we worry about what some flesh might think about it. Somebody may think that I'm a brag. Should that worry me or stop me? I'm saved by the grace of God. I'm bragging on nobody but Jesus Christ. You know, the tears come this morning because my little children bought me a cake and a pack of Tic Tacs, glory to God, because they love me. Because they love me. How can they love me? Because I've been saved by the grace of God. Amen. Some of them, I've seen them grow up and get married and leave and then come back. I praise God for everyone that we've ever seen that looked into the eyeballs of us. Glory to God. And I want to be an example. Sometimes, I'm telling you, sometimes I don't go. I could go other places, but I don't go other places because people will think what I'm doing, or people will think, what are you doing out here? I could be visiting the sick. I could be reading the Word of God. I could be praying. And I'm going to tell you something. If I sit at home, I ain't near under as many temptations as I am in the things of the world. I can't believe a Christian that wants to go to a concert in Charlotte. That'll make you mad, I know. But that'll be all right. But he said, but when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites, or for they love to pray, standing in the synagogue, and in the corners of the street, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. They have their reward. So the Bible tells us, if they stand out there as the hypocrites, glory to God, and they were self-willed people, they were people that wouldn't believe in God, wouldn't accept that Jesus Christ was the darling Son of God, and they were still under the law, so they were hypocrites. They wanted to stand out on the street, amen, they wanted to give alms and go tell everybody, look what I've done. Ain't we seen this in our walk of life? Ain't we seen when somebody did do a little something, amen, they wanted to go tell everybody, but when they mess up and go wrong, they don't want to tell nobody? And we find excuse after excuse, glory to God, why we can't come to church. Well, I could tell you some things on my mind, y'all wouldn't like it, but let's let them go. Bless God, I'm going to tell you, God knows. God knows exactly why you're not here today. God knows exactly why you've backed up and quit praising God. Why you don't shout the victory no more and a smile on your face. A young lady we hadn't seen in I don't know when. She come here a few times to church and I don't even know her name. I know her well. But I've never seen her. I've probably known her 15 years. I've never seen her, and I told Janet, without a smile. She's opened up a cafe up in Virginia now, and she's always smiling. She took time out from her job to stand there and praise the Lord with me. She's an uplift to me, just her smile. You say something that ain't even funny, it's your life. Amen.
I don't hear that.
My wife sometimes says, I wish I could tell you sometimes. She told me this morning, I didn't even know she's behind the door. Don't shut the door in my face. I was hoping she'd come out smiling instead of a bloody nose. Seriously, church. Have we got a smile on our face, joy in our heart? I'm going to tell you, if Jesus, I'm going to preach in just a minute. If there's joy in our heart, glory to God, you'll smile a little bit. From the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And if the heart is right with God, it'll speak love. It'll speak joy. It'll speak peace. It'll be some happiness. Amen. Janet, don't stand behind my door. Church, we're ill-natured. Corona's made us more ill or iller. It's made us want to fight back. Who saved you? Corona? Jesus. Jesus died on the cross. Said they have their reward. Have you seen these people that run in and they won't tell you their preacher? Wherever they go, they won't tell you their preacher. And Lord help them. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into the closet, and when thou hast shut the door, that's where I got that door. And thou shut the door, pray to the Father which is in secret, that the Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Paul said he wasn't an eloquent speaker. He wasn't one with outstanding words and outstanding knowledge, but he was a child of God. The 8th verse said, be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth which things ye have need of before ye ask Him. And He said, after this manner, and that's what I want to preach on. He said, after this manner, and I won't knock, people call this the Lord's Prayer, and if they want to believe it that way, that's fine. But He said, after this manner, therefore, pray ye. He didn't say this is the Lord's Prayer or this is how we need to pray, but after this manner. And the manner of it is the example of it. This is an example set out for us to pray. And the Lord laid this on my heart this week, and it's stirred in my heart. He said, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which is in heaven. What great words. That means when we've got a need, we need to stop. And when we pray and say, our Father which is in heaven, not just say, our Father which is in heaven from the mouth, but know that our Father is in heaven from our heart. Yeah. Know who we're talking to. And I take it by spells. I don't do it all the time. But every now and then, I just want to thank Him for being there and listening to me, for caring about me and not rejecting me when He's busy. I know He's busy. And when He listens to me and my little petty prayers. So I need to stop and I need to slow down. I do it like all of you do it. I kneel down beside the bed, a 2-minute prayer, and I jump in the bed and wake up the next morning. Don't even know what I pray. I go to the altar. I carry a rock. I put my flesh out. I carry a rock down to the altar. And I pray, but do I recognize my Father? Do I know who I'm praying to? Or have I just become repetition? Am I just doing it because that's the way I was taught? Do we just come to the altar because we say the altar's open? Or do you have a prayer request? Do we? Where are we at? Let me read if I can find John. I only read John 9. John 9:31. Now we know that God heareth not sinners. Some will teach you if you're saved, you're not a sinner. But if you think you're saved and still sinning, you're a sinner. And I'm going to tell you what the Word of God said.
Bless the Lord.
That God don't hear, that God heareth not sinners. But if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth His will, him He heareth. A worshiper of God and doeth His will. What is the will of God? That I satisfy flesh or I crucify flesh? Let me flip over to Psalm 66.
Bless
and 18.
The Bible said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Iniquity is sin. So how many times, I'm talking to me and all of us, God's tore my heart out over this. And this, you may think I'm foolish today. You may think I've heard this 40,000 times. But I'm going to tell you, God is sending us a message. We're praying in repetition. We're not praying in the Spirit of God. And He said, if there's iniquity in our heart, He said, God don't hear us. That's the Word of God. Have you ever told a sinner that said they prayed for you? I told one I used to work with. I said, I pray for you. I said, you can't pray for me. You're a sinner. I told my boss man when I worked. I said, you ain't right with God. He said, how do you know I ain't right with God? I said, you told me. You told me.
Bless him, Lord.
How did they tell you? By the language they use. By who they worship, who they serve, how they act, everyday walk of life. If we're going to be peculiar people, we're going to have to get in shape to get a prayer through. I want God to hear me. I don't know what about y'all, but I got a truckload of prayers. I need God to hear me. I want, as a sister said, I want somebody when I die to say he done all he could to serve God. He done all he could to praise God. He done all he could to help somebody else. He didn't change the word and fix the word to suit himself to take care of his sins. He tried to preach the word. Don't want to be a quitter. Never want to be a quitter.
Right.
Satan always told me, you'll be a quitter, you'll never make it. I don't want to be a quitter. I want to go on.
Amen.
So we need to recognize our Father. He said, pray after this manner. In Matthew 6. And he said, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, Hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be thy name. I wrote down some definitions of hallowed. Let me read them. Hallowed is to make holy, to treat as sacred, reverence, to concentrate. Concentrate my body to the Lord. Give my body to the Lord. He said, present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord.
Amen.
He said, so hallowed be thy name. So if we believe that He is a hallowed God, an all-righteous God, how can we bring our sins to an altar and try to talk to God about something else, knowing inside that we don't like somebody? That we've stole off somebody. We've told a little lie. We've cheated on our wife or our husband. We've held back our tithes. How can we come to a God that we say is a hallowed God and confess our faults and not tell Him about our sin? Why is the church like it is today? Why is our churches like they are today? Why is the house churches in Cuba sitting on sawmill boards, sitting on a cinder block, and the little house full wanting to worship God? Because they remembered He's a hallowed God. He's the only hope they got. The government let them down. The government put them under bondage. All they got to look to is God. They can't run to the grocery store. They can't buy this or sell that. They've even got to have their cows counted every month or two. They can't have anything that the government don't want them to have. Think about, neighbor, the freedom that we've had. We can have 100 cows or none. It don't matter to our government. But it's coming down. We're being shut down. Are we worshiping a hallowed God? I won't go into depths on this, but the Celtics and Halloween. Y'all can do Google. Henry can do Google. I've heard him talk about it. Getting from one place to other because he Googled. And check out Halloween. There was a Pope that said the first day of November would be All Saints Day. And then the devil's crowd have come along, and this is how it started. Under the Celtics. Y'all go look it up. I won't get all this right. But they would build a bonfire and put on costumes to run off the bad ghosts till the ghost wouldn't bother them. And finally it come into America, and I read this morning. Millions of dollars is spent on people dressing their animals for Halloween. I don't know which thing it was on, but I was trying to Google and I ain't no good. Was it? I didn't watch the news last night either. But think about it. And it also said that Halloween is the most dangerous day and night for children, for car wrecks, for thefts, for murders. And then we that call, I don't care if you get mad, it really don't bother me. We take our children out and dress them as a skeleton or devil with horns. We're sitting in church on the mountain, Janet about broke my ribs. I told the church, I said, it ain't right. Halloween ain't right. Deacon called me outside. Janet done broke my ribs. Called me outside. That's before I took the church. And he said, there ain't nothing wrong with Halloween. We just give out candy. I said, bless your heart. Bless your heart.
Bless the Lord.
Can you remember what Halloween was for you when you was a boy? How about you, Butch? Can you?
It's ugly.
It's ugly. Cut trees. They had toilets back in. I've turned over toilets. Grabbed one, the man squalls in it. In Round Peak. I won't ever forget that. Cut trees down across the road, just a block of road, never realizing that somebody might need to get to the hospital. Set fodder shocks on fire that a man had put up to feed his cows. Evil. I don't know what about you all, but the devil's fighting me on this. I felt it. I'm telling you all the truth. They ain't a piece of candy worth losing your child over. And can I tell you, it's come out on news. They put razor blades. They put everything in it. But we don't do nothing, Bill, but just take them out and go from door to door. You're helping trick or treat or whatever you want to call it. What's that other word the church is trying to use? Trunk or treat. It's sin. We're serving a night that Satan has absolutely set aside to make fun of the hallowed name of Jesus. I looked, Butch, in the what is it, 1807 dictionary? And Halloween's not in there. If it was, I couldn't find it. Noah Webster didn't want to fool with Halloween. But we the church people. You search it out. If you can't use Google, you go search it out. Get somebody to do it for you. I pulled up enough, and I probably forgot to cut it off, but I pulled up enough till I know that Halloween ain't nothing but a mockery of God. They set it up, the Pope, and I forgot his name, but he set it up way many years ago, and he wanted to set it up for the All Saints. All Saints they are not. And what have we made out of it? I think maybe second to nothing but Christmas. Well, I'll just tell you, when your young'un gets sick, run out there to that black cat with his tail sticking up in the air in your yard and say, "Black cat, would you heal my boy?" You think that's silly? But neighbor, that's what we're doing today. There's iniquity in our life, and God's not hearing our prayers. Why? Because we let little... Why did prayer go out of school? We let sin come into our homes. Why have we got what we got in the White House? We let sin come into our lives. Amen. Why is the churches not like they used to be? Why are we not shouting? There's sin in our lives. Why is prayers not being answered like they used to be answered? There's sin in our lives. And he said, "Hallowed be thy name." And he said, "Thy kingdom come." This is the Lord's prayer. And he said, "Do it in this manner. Thy kingdom come." That's the presence of the Lord. You know when we want the presence of the Lord? Not when we're out of His will. We want the presence of the Lord when we have prayed through and got everything settled. He said, "Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." Do we want the will of God done in our lives? God's not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. God also said that He would destroy every nation that turned their back on Him. And we can look back at Israel and the problems Israel has had and how the Spirit as a whole is withdrawn from Israel and how those people have suffered and how all the way around them they're against Israel. Why are they against Israel? Because they're God's people and they've turned their back on God, and it's a whip and it's a curse on Israel as a whole. But I believe one day soon there's going to be revival and they'll be coming back. It says the two will be killed. They'll preach 3.5 years and their dead bodies will be laying in the street and it'll recover. Amen. They'll come back. Glory to God. I believe revival will break out in Israel. But America's seen their revival. You know how we got revival? Because Israel rejected. Israel rejected. And the Spirit of God came to us, the Gentiles, and I praise His holy name for it. And He said, "Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." You know, if we today let the will of God work in every one of our lives, I'm including me, it'd be a total change in our church. There'd be a countenance just like when you go up and mama's had a new baby and mama's little baby is shining, and there it lays in pink or blue in the bassinet, and everybody's just all tore out of the frame because of a new body. A little new baby born into this whole world. Maybe I'm going to tell you, the Lord rejoices over one that died before He does a newborn baby. Think about it. I about cry when I see another baby born into this world. The wickedness. Why are we blind? Why are we blind today? We've not read the Word. We don't know. I'm not smart. I know I'm not smart. But do we want the will of God done in our life? If God really done the will in my life, if I really prayed the will of God be done in my life, I'd either straighten up some things or I'd take a whipping. You know, we don't want neither one. So we just dodge this, the will of God in our life. I'd have to leave off some things. I'd have to say some things I ain't said, and I'd have to let some things go that I've been trying to say. They'd be a change if I truly wanted the will of God. I'm preaching to us, honey. He said, "Give us this day our daily bread." What are they saying? We need to store it up. We need to store it up because there's going to be a shortage. There's going to be a difference. Brother Harrison back there, you've seen, You've seen how people's reacted in your business, and you've seen what's going on. I talked to your daddy the other day. Yeah. It's amazing. You can have every generator in town, can't get no gas for it, it won't run. Hello? A parking lot full of cars. I've never had one that run without fuel. I don't shout without the fuel of God. Hallowed be His name. Do I come to Him and realize that He knows my sins? He knows my thoughts. He knows where I know how we are. I'm us. We try to beat around the Word of God. Give us this day our daily bread. Just one meal at a time. No reserve, nothing to go back to. Just one meal at a time. Give us our daily bread. His 12th verse will get every one of us. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. As we forgive our debtors. Think about, church, where we're at. Think about what's going on in our life. Think about who we're serving. I told you that's something I'd like to be mad at, but I can't and still preach. I guess that's why I can't quit preaching. Because then I'd say I can get mad at them, don't matter whether I do or not, I ain't preaching no more. It scares me to stand up here and know there's sin in my life. And that's for our sins we know. You know what's sad? One told me this week, said I probably won't ever come back to church. I ain't going to be a hypocrite. I can just hear Satan telling them, don't fool with that bunch. Don't fool with that bunch. Patting them on the back and say, don't be a hypocrite. I'll take care of you, boy. That same one spoke to Jesus. Jesus just rebuked him and said, you don't live by bread alone. But how many is listening to the lie, honey? I had a dear friend last year that died that I reckon drank alcohol every day, sat in church every Sunday. God had blessed, had a business, things went well. But he died a little younger than me. Who do we think we're fooling? Brother brought it out. Sitting in church every Sunday ain't going to get the job done. We need to get right with God. Let the will of God be done in our lives. It's a battle, church. The flesh don't like the will of God. The flesh don't like us praising God. The flesh wants us to go Halloween day and night. Amen. Twelfth verse. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Have we treated people like we'd like to be treated? Have we forgive others like we'd like to be forgiven? 13, and he says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. This is what the Lord said. He said, pray in this manner. Pray in this manner that our sins will be forgiven, and that we forgive men their trespasses, and that we lead us not, Lord, into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And 14 said, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But, in the 15th verse, but if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses.
Amen.
So it's as plain as the nose on our face. Simple writing. Jesus, simple writing. And we sit in church and ignore this word. We ignore. He said He'll forgive us if we forgive our neighbor. But if we don't forgive our neighbor, He won't forgive us. There's very few elderly people in here that ain't had neighbor problems. One way or the other. Or had workplace problems. One way or the other. We're just people. But neighbor, we got to forgive. We got to overlook. We've got to love. This ain't about me today. This ain't about me. This is the message my God sent today. The simple message of prayer. He plainly said, pray after this manner, therefore, pray ye. He laid out a little example for us to pray. And definitely, He said, the Father be exalted. Definitely, in so many words, He said, hallowed be the Father. Hallowed be the heaven. I believe He's saying, hallowed be the church house. Let it be holy. Let it be without spot and blameless. We need the house of God. We need what God has got in store for us. Let me turn to Ephesians. I'm about done. I wish this would have got through, but I'm sorry. I'm not carrying it back home with me, my friend. Ephesians 6 and 18. Ephesians 6 and 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication. Supplication, just humbleness. In the Spirit. And He said, and watching thereunto with all perseverance. That's continuance. And again, with supplication for all saints. So, neighbor, I've heard it all of my life, and it's been mentioned there all through Sunday school. I've heard all of my life that religion drove them crazy. But I tell you what, I have watched this thing. I have prayed. The Bible told us to watch. And those that I've seen go off the deep end, walked away from God, tried to serve the devil and God too, and their mind went haywire. And I'm not excusing mine, or I'm not excusing yours. I know there's people born in that condition. But these that we see lose it. There's oppression, depression. We got a friend down Pine Ridge Way, depression most of his life. That eats away at us. I have to fight anxiety. I don't know what about you all. I have to fight bipolar. I have to fight the things of the flesh. Roger, I have to fight pain. I have to fight fear. Fear will come in. Lay in bed at 80 years old and you think, Lord, I can't have much longer, don't we, Emma? How about it, Vera? Think, well, this can't be much longer. And then Satan will say, you're going to get in, you're going to get nursed home, ain't nobody going to take care of you, and right here you'll be. I just get out of bed and go staggering through the house. I say, I'm still a-going. Still a-going, praise the Lord. Think about it. We need to pray like we've never prayed before. I'm not talking about going through the action. I'm not talking about me carrying a rock down at the altar and make pretense of prayer. I promise you from the depth of my heart, every rock I've carried down there, I didn't get a prayer through. Shame on me. Sometimes I didn't stay till I got done. Sometimes I had other things to do. But if we got loved ones heading to hell, what difference do I make in my neighbor? I could have read on about fasting and how we fast and how we make ourselves look bad. And I told to the hypocrites, I said, look at me, I fasted, and look at me, I'm just about whipped. He tells us to use a little eye salve, wash our face, clean up, and look like everything's going good. You may have to put on a little if you're hungry. You may have to put on a little show sometimes. But go ahead and do it. We fasted, Ben Butch fasted, several years ago. And I promise you this week, I knew just as good as I knew my name that God honored that fast this week. And I couldn't count the days or the months or the years when me and Butch agreed and fasted together. Butch, how long has it been since we done that? I'm talking about that and it's done gone, but it's been a long time since we've done one. Yeah, it's been a long time since we, two of us somewhere, agree and try to fast. I know I'm on medication, but I ain't dead. I can leave off a meal once in a while. And a meal ain't everything. I can leave off several things. I can leave off some of my pleasures. I remember building my house. We was working 4:10s and Friday and Saturday working on the house and still trying to come on to church Sunday. It's the only time I ever been condemned over watching TV. I didn't have time, so I quit watching TV for a good while. It never hurt me. I was better off working. Better off working. We need to leave off some things. I love you. This might have been scattered. But if ever prayer you've ever prayed gets through, would you pray one more for me? Because all of mine just ain't really getting through. Why? There's iniquity in my life. I'm telling you, these fellows that are sitting at home and say they're all right, Satan's done lied to them. They believed it.
Bless them, Lord.
I knew a long time ago I couldn't make it out of church. And there's not a real Christian here can tell you they can make it out of church. I need y'all. Love you.
Amen.
This morning, I wouldn't take $2,000 for what the young ones, new people have done for me with birthdays and anniversaries, pastor appreciation. Well, it just keeps rebuilding. And the tears, I praise God. If I don't cry, the Lord can't wipe them away. Love you, young. Appreciate you. Butch, will get us a song. Are we praying every time we go? Have we got something that's blocking our prayer? Over our addiction. Priest.